For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Hoof Podcast here on Thursday nights on the Built in Buffalo Network. You'll notice that Eric is not here currently. He is off this week for personal reasons, traveling, you know, so he'll be back next week. Him and I will be in full swing, but we got to enjoy the summer while it's still here, right? So I had a week off here. He's got a week off there. We're both going back and forth a little bit, but once the season's here, you're going to get full jam-packed action. We got a lot to discuss in another week of Bills training camp, right? A lot going on as we get closer to actual game action, the first preseason game. It was announced that the starters will be playing for a quarter in that game, which is what we've seen before from Sean McDermott in this new three-game preseason where every team seems to approach it a little differently, but the Bills want to see their starters in action. And although there's always the risk of injury with that, you got to take the good with the bad and say, look, we need to see our guys at real speed against real opponents and get a read on them. And then obviously after that, it's all about the depth. Who's going to win a spot? Who's going to lose their spot? However it goes through there. So we got a lot to discuss. And with that came the release of the Bills depth chart this week. Their first official, unofficial depth chart, but that we'll have a lot to dive in to that as well. But I didn't come alone tonight. I do have a special guest joining me. Ryan decided he could join me tonight. I really appreciate you joining me. It's always good to have somebody to go back and forth with. So introduce yourself to the Hoof listeners. They probably know you in the background at Built in Buffalo now, but go ahead and tell us our handles aren't showing up for some reason, which is weird tonight. But yeah, give us an intro.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm Ryan, as you know me on Twitter at RyanBuffalo01. Just started at Built in Buffalo a couple weeks ago. Really been enjoying the training camp grind with you guys, and yeah, excited for preseason and regular season to get here before you know it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, time is just flying by. You think about it, it's already early August. What's today? The 8th. So the Bills play September, right? So a month away, really, not even, you know, it's closer than it feels right now. I think because of the shortened games now in the preseason, it used to be four, now it's three. Maybe I'm more used to that, but it just feels like, wow. It's already closer. My fantasy football drafts are all getting in order. I don't know about you, but I'm in way too many leagues. Eric and I discuss it every year. I cut down. I'm like, oh, I'm in 10 leagues. I'm in 12 leagues. This year, I'm like, no, I'm going to stay to like five. Somehow I'm still in like seven. And I don't even,
always
not even like joining. Yeah, right, right. So it's a couple are really competitive. A couple are just for fun and bragging rights. But I take them all seriously. So yeah, but that's how you know it's getting closer to the actual season, because most of our leagues try to draft as close to regular season as possible to avoid all the injuries and things that happen in the preseason. But how many leagues are you in? As many as me? I hope not, because it's overwhelming.
Yeah, no, I'm only in three at the moment, thankfully, just so I can pay more attention to those, because I do want to win every single one. So
there is a priority thing that happens toward the middle of the season when you're like, look, I don't have time to waiver wire all of these. I focus on the ones that are the, you know, biggest or the most important, and the others kind of might go to the wayside. But I still stay competitive in them, it seems, every year. But depending on injuries and everything, you know, that's always tough to predict. But I'm always happy with my draft. I know that. And I try to draft consistently through them. Anyway, lots to talk about with fantasy football coming up. And Eric and I will be doing our regular season preview of each division coming up as well. We'll let you know when those will drop. A couple weeks before the season goes, we'll go AFC, NFC, division by division, and get things going that way. So anyway, we got a lot of content to dive into with the release of earlier this week. We'll go step by step, I guess. Obviously, the Bills have that first preseason game coming up that I talked about and mentioned, but the depth chart was released by the Buffalo Bills this year. And I have to say, man, it was interesting to see, because I think that there was some, personally, I think that there's always some strategery, if you will, and manipulation going on when teams release their unofficial depth charts, especially before the actual 53-man roster, because that's when you have to put up or shut up, right? Like, if the making the roster, he's there. If he's not, they didn't think he was worth it after all. But this depth chart, you know, had a lot that I thought was interesting, starting with the wide receiver position, right? A lot of people thought, you know, oh, okay, wide receivers, we know who the top four guys are, and they're going to be in this order. There was a lot of buzz. It didn't necessarily surprise me, but there was a lot of buzz around Keon Coleman being the fourth, basically, behind Mac Hollins, listed as the third wide receiver. Any thoughts on the wide receiver room or that Keon Coleman spot in general? He is a rookie, all that. What did you think when you saw the wide receiver part of the depth chart?
Yeah, I thought it was to be expected. Obviously, I think the focus for me was KJ Hamler being higher than probably some people expected. I think that emphasizes yet again that even though people may not like it, special teams really does play a key factor with these coaches. As far as Keon goes, I think that's to be expected as well. He's a rookie. He's paired up there with Mac Hollins. And Hollins is a veteran. Obviously, everyone has heard about all the vibes that he has brought to camp. Reliable target. He had a good year with Oakland, or Vegas, I should call them now. 2 years ago. And yeah, to start off, I think obviously Keon has had his moments in camp. It seems like he's making highlight reel grabs every day in camp now, which is great to see. And I think it will come at a certain time as either preseason gets along or early on in the season where you see Keon start to move up that depth chart a little bit as the coaches start to trust him a little bit more.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, especially as a rookie, you got to slowly work him in. Mac Hollins has proven a lot already. And Coleman will grow, I think, as the season goes on, just like you said. It's for a rookie, you got to get acclimated. He might make a splash play here and there in the beginning, I think, because they're going to put him in the right situations. But to me, he's where he belongs on this depth chart right now. Everybody's like, oh, you draft a wide receiver as your first pick. He should, you know, be one of your number one receiver. No, that's not what Coleman was ever intended to be for this team in my mind. So yeah, I do think he's slotted right where he belongs. You brought up KJ Hamler, which does fit into a part of the discussion I wanted to get to later, but yeah, he's a wide receiver by trade. And you know, Joey brings up one of my biggest concerns, which is KJ Hamler has never been able to stay healthy. He was with the Denver Broncos, drafted by that team. You know, year after year, he's shown potential, has the speed, can make flashes, but has been injured and put on IR every single year. Last year, he found himself on the Colts practice squad. And then, you know, the Bills signed him to a futures deal after that to bring him into camp, basically, as a trial. And so far, he's been able to stay healthy. You know, he's made plays, but not flashed as a wide receiver, at least in, again, I'm not at training camp, but the coverage I've read and heard, he hasn't been one of the superstars standing out or like, oh my God, this guy's one of those guys to keep an eye on. But where he finds himself on this Bills depth chart yes, it's a little surprising. So obviously, Samuel Shakir and then Matt Collins, as we've discussed, Keon Coleman is also there. And then it's KJ Hamler, right? Right behind MVS. So we're with MVS. So those are the top six. And that's a little surprising to have KJ Hamler there. I certainly didn't have him there in May when he was predicted, you know, to be part of the mix here. But I did say those last two spots could go to anybody who showed up during training camp. And so far, they must like what they see from him, or at least this depth chart indicates that. And the other part where we see that is he's listed as the punt returner and the kickoff return man in front of Andy Isabella and Daquan Hardy, respectively, as punt and kick returner. So KJ Hamler is listed as that one guy. And we know that the Bills like to carry somebody to be on that roster. Eric and I have discussed that we thought that would be Daquan Hardy, and we know he's shown good ability on defense already, and he's a draft pick, so the Bills are likely to keep him on board. But Hamler has obviously shown something for the Bills to say, hey, you're going to get the first opportunity to be the first guy to do that job and at wide receiver. What are your thoughts on the overall ability of KJ Hamler in terms of, you know, he hasn't been able to stay healthy, but we've seen flashes from him, and the thoughts on him being the punt return, kick return man on this roster?
Yeah, I think being a second round pick, I remember looking at him in that draft, and
yeah,
he had tons of potential. He has that speed element that this team really doesn't have outside of MVS right now. He had a really promising rookie season before he got hurt, and ever since then, that has been his issue. I think it's a good sign that he's been able to stay healthy at camp. Obviously, he hasn't shown many flashes at the receiver position necessarily, but as a kick returner and punt returner, with this new kickoff rule, these coaches are going to be looking at maybe different things in a returner than maybe in the past that they may have been looking at. And obviously they like him enough to put him in the punt return and kick return start as the first depth chart releases. So yeah, he's showing something to the coaches. And, you know, with the preseason coming up, I think us as fans who maybe haven't been at camp, maybe get a glimpse into what the coaches have seen out there.
Yeah, and we could say that pretty much about all these positions now, right? I'm super excited to watch this preseason game more than I am usually. One, because the opponent we happen to face is a first overall pick who, you know, is making his debut against the Bills. But who cares about that? We're talking Bills-centric. To see these guys who have flashed in camp, see if it translates to a real game ability, or at least as we've heard, like you said, we're not seeing these practices every day. But also that back end of the roster of like, okay, can these guys really show something that makes sense as to why they should move up and make this roster? Even against, you know, the other team's seconds or whatever. So, but yeah, this KJ Hamler specifically, what I think might be going on here, this is where I think there is a little bit of deception, if you will, not intentional deception. I think the Bills want to give KJ Hamler the first shot at this in this first preseason game. But do I think that they're like, this is our guy right now? No, I think that they want it to be Daquan Hardy when it's all said and done, that he's the guy we keep on this roster, that we don't have to, you know, keep a spot at the wide receiver position for a guy like KJ Hamler open. And then because that's going to eliminate another roster spot, like we said, there's only 53. And if you're keeping a sixth wide receiver, let's say is KJ Hamler, or maybe he's the fifth, I don't know, but sixth wide receiver in KJ Hamler versus a, you know, another cornerback in Daquan Hardy, or you keep both, then where are you cutting that next position? Probably, I don't know, defensive end, defensive line. So it's just one less talented player you're going to have overall. So I think that they really want it to be Daquan Hardy, and then they don't have to make the decision to keep a KJ Hamler. They can cut him. He can probably stick on the practice squad. But I am excited to see how he flashes in that situation, especially with the new kickoff rule and the punt return. Maybe more shocking that, you know, Andy Isabella, the guy that we know this coaching staff loves, and they've had him on the roster last year, moved down a notch almost in favor of KJ Hamler, the guy they just brought in. So again, Is there some deception going on there to say, yes, KJ Hamler is getting this opportunity because we already know what we have in Andy and Isabella? Or is it, no, truly, KJ Hamler has outshined and earned the spot versus an Andy Isabella? There's no way to really know. But like you said, we're gonna see it in action come Saturday in the first preseason game. The other of note, I think the big two more wide receivers, obviously this is the biggest position of the offseason for the Bills, right? Wide receiver. We're probably going to spend the most time here. But the other two major ones here, or maybe three, I guess, Shavers and Shorter have gotten a lot of, you know, boost this offseason as guys who could potentially make the roster. Shavers, I would say more so from in-house. McDermott and Bean have both spoken highly, highly of Shavers, saying he's the first guy in the room. He's the last guy to leave. You know, he studies. He knows his stuff. He knows the routes. You know, it's just about putting it together for him. We mentioned those first six. Tyrell Shavers is in that next group of wide receivers, along with Andy Isabella, who we already kind of mentioned, and Justin Shorter, draft pick from last year, who was on IR. And again, Shorter, a lot of stands that Shorter should make this roster, but Shorter finds himself here and now dealing with a little bit of a camp injury. You know, is he actually going to play in the game? McDermott said most of the guys who didn't practice today are not going to play in the game. He was among those. So kind of a disappointing start to the preseason for him. So what are your thoughts on I guess all three of those guys, Shavers, Isabella, who we kind of talked about with the return game, and Justin Shorter, as to how they can fit on the roster or where you saw them versus where they are now on this depth chart? Is that surprising to you or what?
I think the signs have always been there from Shavers. He had an impressive preseason last year. The coaches have done nothing and actually have gone out of their way to actually praise him, especially this offseason, it seems like. And he is definitely the leader in the clubhouse by all reports coming out of camp. He's been a reliable target. He's even, I think, the most important thing that should tell you that he is leading in the clubhouse for that last receiver spot. He's catching passes from Josh Allen. I think you don't do that unless you have a lot of confidence in a receiver. And them throwing in Tyrell Shavers catching passes with Josh Allen should tell you a lot about how much these coaches, Joe Brady, Josh Allen, really trust in him. He was a highly respected recruit coming into college. Mm-hmm. Obviously didn't live up to that potential. And I think he's going to be what everyone wanted Justin Shorter to be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. That's a great way to put it, that, you know, here's Shorter, the guy that everybody wanted to step up and be the darling guy to make the roster at come the end of the preseason. But really, again, Shavers was mentioned by Bean in like the first press conference of the year. And he's continued to come up since then as like somebody who's stuck around in Buffalo, who's worked and is now showing it on the field. And I really can't wait to see him in action in this preceason game to say, oh, what I see with my eyes is now telling me what the coaching staff has been saying all along, that this guy is showing a real talent. You know, he's going to be out there with the twos probably, but still can flash and make plays that will impress. So yeah, that's where we're at with kind of the next tier of wide receivers. Shavers, Isabella, Shorter. Is one of those likely to make the roster? Well, we talked about Shavers being the darling, maybe could take that fifth or sixth spot from KJ Hamler or MVS. And then you have Isabella, who would have to take the return job, in my mind, to make the roster. So that would definitely be a replacement for KJ Hamler. And then Shorter, who I think is now on the outside looking in just because of that situation he finds himself in. And now with the injury, not a great place to be, especially because he was injured last year as well. The last story we got to get to on wide receivers, Chase Claypool, right? Another guy who, when the Bills signed him, everybody was talking about, oh, this guy is, he could be the one. He could be the Bills' one. And you know, I kind of pumped the brakes on that. Like, wait a minute now. This guy has been in two places where he was just outright not wanted. Okay, maybe he's had the attitude shift he needed to come in and, you know, make a change and show up and say, yeah, I'm willing to play special teams. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. But again, a guy who has had some injuries in the past now finds himself injured and at the very bottom of this depth chart. I think that's like a punch to the gut from this coaching staff saying, well, we wanted you to be something and now you're nothing to us. So to me, that was one of the more shocking, like, dang, they put everybody over you. And if you're Chase Claypool, though, you can't argue with them because you've shown nothing at this point. You haven't been able to get it done, you know? So what else could you say? What are your thoughts on what were your initial thoughts with Claypool when the Bills signed him, and where are you at with him now?
I thought, you know, obviously there had to be an attitude shift if he was to come here. You know, going to Chicago obviously didn't work out. Then going to Miami for half a season, you know, you don't really expect a player to fully mm-hmm. get involved in an offense that early unless, you know, you're a superstar player. I think there was, and still is, a lot of untapped potential with him. He obviously had a great spring. We were hearing all those reports about how good he looked and how his attitude had changed. And he's really, you know, bringing some good vibes out there. And I think these coaches genuinely wanted him mm-hmm. to come to camp and prove that. And a lot of people, including myself, had him making the roster as that 5 or 6 guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The injury has hurt him a lot. Hopefully he can come back sooner rather than later so he can at least get some preseason work in. And, you know, maybe the roster spot is too far to climb up for him now, but I think you could stash him on the practice squad, get him healthy, and maybe if a situation, you know, injury, something like that, comes up during the season, you can call him up and see what he has.
Right. I mean, you could do a lot worse than having a guy with NFL experience like that on speed dial who already knows your system and, like you said, has at least been around to be like, hey, if something happens, we can bring you on up. Now, will the Bills be able to retain him on the practice squad if he doesn't make the roster? That's yet to be seen. If another team is willing to sign him, then, hey, more power to you. Take him, you know, if he doesn't make the cut. But I'm right there with you. I did have him making my initial 53 for the Bills just as having the leg up on the other guys that we've talked about, Shavers, even KJ Hamler, because, you know, different skill set, but, you know, veteran presence who's been healthier and shown more production, more high ceiling capability Claypool has than Hamler. And even with MVS, I was more kind of on the fence with MVS than I was Claypool. I figured one of them would at least make it, but not both. There's not room for both. So at least there's one who's making that roster, you know? Yeah, so we can move on now. We talked about the wide receiver position. We've got so much else to get to here, but we do have a special guest looming in the background here. Maybe I'll get him in to say something for the wide receivers here just for a second at least. Here he is, the man who filled in for me just a couple of weeks ago on this show. Izzy, man, what's going on? Good to see you. Oh, can't hear you. You muted?
Muted. Oh, there it is. Are you trying to unmute me too at the same time?
That's right. Yeah. Now I got you.
Yeah. So I'll jump in here, you know, on occasion for, you know, when you guys have something, I'll just type in the group chat. Hey,
sure.
I got something for that. And so wide receivers, I agree with the whole Chase Claypool thing. I thought he was looking like a guy who could take that wide receiver's 5 spot from MVS. But now it's mm-hmm. looking less likely, obviously, because of the toe injury. And the practice squad looks like where he is destined to be sent. And I'm cool with that because I don't think there's going to be a whole flock of teams looking to go get him. And I don't think that he wants to play for a team that has a lesser quarterback. I think that he's going to really want to stick around with a Josh Allen. So unless, like, the Chiefs come after him or the Chargers with Herbert, mm-hmm. he's going to want a really good quarterback to play for. And so stash him in a practice squad. If somebody who has a good quarterback wants to take him, then so be it. We weren't intending on keeping him on their main roster anyway. But yeah, I think that Shavers has made so much noise to really claim that spot. And I'm not sure about the return thing either. You guys were talking about Hamler and Isabella getting an opportunity and Hamler really having the leg up now that Isabella's hurt. Daquan Hardy's a guy who's, you know, got returnability and
that's Smiley. Who I think is going to win the job. That's who I want to win the job, right?
Yeah, no, I'm with you because then we get to keep MVS and Shavers. Yes. Then you know, you got four trees at wide receiver there, you know, 6'3" and above. You have Daquan Hardy. You can stash Hamler also on the practice squad if something happens to Daquan Hardy. who's also been making noise at a slot corner. He's been making noise at nickel.
Yes, exactly. He's flashed. He should make the team. No question. Yeah, he's a draft pick this year. Yeah.
Yep. Not just at nickel, but at outside corner too, apparently, from what I've been hearing. He's been playing outside corner, inside, doing returns. And what was it? Coach Smiley said that the kickoff return guy, now that the rules have changed and you got these guys who are running much more streamlined, that they're going to be more like punt returners. They're going to be smaller guys because they're not expected to take big impacts like kick returners would. So you're not looking at guys like who was that kick returner we had way back with the Braves? He came from Carolina. I forget his name. He was an excellent kick returner, but he couldn't play
Roberts.
Roberts.
Roberts. No, he was the kick returner for a while. So
it was Roberts. It was Roberts. I know that the last name. Not like him because he was a big guy, but he wasn't that fast. So now you're going to look for speed because if they can get past that initial wave, there's no wave behind them. But they're all on the line together. So unless they like move into some sort of wedge after the ball's caught, which is probably not the smartest idea.
There's going to be a lot going on there for sure with the kick return. And I think that's going to be, we won't fully know. Teams are still holding back, I think, on that. They're practicing it when, you know, there's not cameras present. They're showing what they can in preseason just to get guys used to it. But they're still, I think teams are trying to strategize what can we do differently to make us the standard for others to follow, right? And it's wide open. Yeah. Any team can do anything that works or doesn't work, and it's going to get worked out live, I think, during the real season, not just during the preseason. And there might be some roster changes associated with that, right? Maybe you keep KJ Hamler at first, you realize that doesn't work. Wait, we'd rather have Claypool in terms of his wide receiver ability or something like that. Again, that's just an example. But, you know, one guy we didn't spend a lot of time on was MVS, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. He's a guy, I think, that came in with the expectation that he would be on the roster just because of what he's paid, pretty much. And then, you know, like he's guaranteed the $1 million or whatever it is, negligible in the long run. I think negligible. Hey, if you're not good enough, you shouldn't be on the roster. But, you know, he still somebody who was discussed as, hey, he could be, you know, this could mean he's definitely making the roster. Early on in camp, it looked like he was one of the biggest fallers. Hadn't seen him. He was running with the third team or something, you know, like, wait, what's going on here? When he had opportunities with Allen, we weren't hearing about it. And now MVS is getting more action with Allen, still doing his, what I would say is the expectation for him, dropping important passes, but then making catches way down the field and making a couple touchdown catches in practices to show like, hey, there is some capability there. And I think that's why he's found himself on the top of this top six, if you will, of the wide receiver depth chart right now. And MVS, certainly a guy with controversy around him for, you know, his activity and his on-field, you know, drop the ball issues. I mean, where are you guys at with MVS? Was he always somebody you thought would make the roster, or was it like, hey, early on in camp, I thought we're cutting him? Where were you?
Well, so I'll say what I think, and then I'll fade back into the background so you guys can continue, and then I'll let you know when I jump back in. But I think that MVS, when he initially got here, was very unimpressive. He just he wasn't doing anything. He was running with the twos and the threes, and then all of a sudden he started seeing more work with just the twos, and now he's seeing work with the twos and the ones. So I think that he has progressed within the scheme. I think that him having needing to learn, you know, on the job a little bit more was really necessary. But I think having a 6'3" guy who can run a 4.3 to take the top off defense is really beneficial to the team. And I think that really says more about it than just the, you know, the controversy or just the fact that, you know, he's getting paid as much as he's getting paid. So you got a guy who, even though he has the dropsies, you can't ignore him streaming, you know, screeching down the field. You have to account for that. Otherwise, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Ryan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, we learned obviously that MVS was late to the party in terms of getting caught up on the playbook. So I think that had something to do with the late start. And also knowing that Josh recruited him to Buffalo. You know, obviously we see the connection they have, good friends off the field. They've hung out at each other's houses. I think Josh really likes him. I think they're working on that chemistry. And as we've seen the weeks go on during training camp, they keep on building that connection, and you see MVS more involved.
Yes.
You know, he will always have those drop questions, but I think he offers you enough as a deep threat wide receiver that not many of the other guys we have on the roster is able to bring you to be secure enough for, you know, that wide receiver five spot.
Right. Right. And you bring up a good point in that when they first signed him, there was a lot of comments about how Josh Allen had him over this house, and then they really connected those two. And that kind of gave me confidence. Hey, this guy's making the roster, even if it is as the last wide receiver who's only in for long, you know, deep passes or whatever, or as a decoy. The guy has off-field chemistry person to person with Josh Allen, which is always a boost to making this roster, right? So I do think that that works in his favor as well. And now that he's learning the playbook and maybe getting more action, we still do have three preseason games. So we're going to see a little bit from MVS, I'm sure. And, you know, at least to give him, like you said, that confidence from the coaching staff to say, hey, he's going to make this roster. And we do see the value he could bring. So, well, you know, if that translates well, great. Now, do I think he's going to be the leading receiver for the Buffalo Bills in receptions or yardage or anything else? Absolutely not. I think I would be happy if he gets about one target a game and let the other guys we've talked about initially be those top guys. And maybe his top stat line is 3 catches for 80 yards some game. Great. I'd love that. Let's do that a couple times this year. But other than that, 1 catch for 20 yards or something on average per game, I'll take that. And that's good enough. I don't want to see him out there for more than, you know, 10 snaps a game or something. If he's out there for 30, I think that's, you know, too much. What are your reasonable expectations for MVS stat lines, if you will, in this offense, assuming he makes a 53 in that?
Yeah, game? I don't think that the expectation should be that much. I think, you know, a catch here or there, use him in certain situations. Wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5, use him in certain packages. I don't think he will be used as like an every down player like he was in Kansas City. I think the top three will be Keon, Curtis, and Shakir. And then after that, I think it will be Hollins, and then MVS will be right there around that. Mm-hmm. I think they like Hollins for the blocking, so he'll probably get a little bit more runway out there.
Mm-hmm.
But
in terms of snap count, mm-hmm. snap count alone, yeah, which is going to get you opportunities, obviously, as well. But yeah, I do think I'm right there with you in terms of reasonable expectations for a player like MVS versus what else we have on the roster. And yeah, he might make a flash play here and there, but he's not going to lead in yards more than 1 or 2 weeks this season, I hope, because otherwise maybe something's gone bad for the other guys, and we definitely don't want to see that. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about 5 versus 6 wide receivers or more on this roster. And I think the X factor there is that special teams. I've always been on the side of 6, keep 6, because you want diversity and backup, you know, just in case and things like that. And just the general talent we have, I think 6 is the number. 5 has been discussed a lot. 5 means you're cutting another one of those guys that we think are going to make it. So that, I think, becomes a lot harder decision to make. And we'll see where the Bills end up on that. I know we got some discussion going on in the chat about 5 versus 6. And just in general, that's a big discussion to have. I still think the Bills are at 6 with what they want on this roster. Now, come cut down day, obviously, depending on performance and everything, if there's an extra defensive end that they want to keep at the expense of a KJ Hamler, then, you know, you go with 5 wide receivers and you take that extra defensive end. But anyway, moving down, as we're moving on now from wide receiver to the offensive line, the top 5, no surprises there, right? Dawkins, Edwards, Connor McGovern, Osiris Torrance, Spencer Brown. Since they made the move to move on and cut Mitch Morse, this has been the starting 5 in cement, pretty much. Like, hey, this is going to be what it is. Edwards was re-signed. He's going to be the left guard. McGovern's moving to center. That's our plan. That's what we're doing. We're sticking to it. Now, in preseason, whether or not that's ultimately works out for day 1, it seems like it's a it'd be a tough hill to climb for somebody to jump in there, right? Even in the Edwards position, which again, he was not the starting left guard. That was McGovern, who's now the center. So that spot was open and competitive. So no surprises in the top five, but the next ones, a little bit of some surprises here, right? In order again, we have Ryan Vandermark, Lyle Collins listed as the backup left guard, Will Clapp at center, Alec Anderson, and Richard Garage finding himself as the backup right tackle. So that five, however, a little bit surprising to me. What are your thoughts on the depth chart? So obviously that leaves other guys like Cedric Van Prang Granger listed as the third center. Mike Edwards was somebody who discussed, Travis Clayton, Tylan Grable, all moving down, and one of my favorites, Keaton Bills, also listed on that back end at guard. So what are your thoughts on at least that next group of guys and the depth in general at offensive line? Because I do think this is another realm where, you know, you could tell me Keaton Bills is going to make the opening roster, and I'll give you a good reason why. He's a guard. We need that position. You know, he's solid there, everything. He could earn his way on. But right now he's listed on the back end, so that would be – and he's an undrafted guy, so that would be more of a surprise. So general thoughts on offensive line. Who in here surprises you, if any?
Yeah, I thought, you know, for most Bills fans, they probably expected Van Prang Granger – to be with that second group. Mm-hmm. So maybe a lot of people found that surprising. I think they're easing him in. I think they, you know, fifth round rookie, you don't want to have too many expectations for someone like that. I think the whole conversation when we drafted him about him competing with McGovern was a bit premature for a fifth mm-hmm. round rookie.
Yeah.
I think they came out and said it, and we're pretty clear that McGovern was going to be the center that they had planned out even going back to last year. You know, having veteran presence like Will Clapp and Lyle Collins in that second tier, I think they do value that. I think they showed interest in Lyle Collins well before we even signed him. There was talk about signing him last year as well. So I think maybe while he hasn't been that impressive in camp
right
yet, so maybe that was a bit surprising. But besides that, you know, they have kept the first five pretty set in stone. And then everybody's just battling out for second and third string.
Yeah, and I think the minimum number for offensive linemen is nine, right? They want nine. They could go 10, and it wouldn't surprise me, right? And usually 10 is that flex roster spot that gets, you know, put on reserve for the active games from the practice squad, right? So I think that that could be, you know, you're looking at really 10 guys that are going to have a role on the team this year, be it backup or otherwise, but on the 53. And yeah, you mentioned the one guy that of this next five, if you will, that surprises me was most, at least, was Lyle Collins. From all accounts, he's been getting absolutely destroyed at camp and looks like he doesn't belong on, at least by reports. Again, I haven't seen it with my own eyes much, but that he has not looked good at any position. He's been playing a little bit of guard, a little bit of tackle. Most of his snaps in his career have come at tackle, and here he is listed as a guard. He has played guard, but I'm just surprised. Like you said, it speaks to, yes, the coaching staff, they value that veteran presence. They value what you can bring to the roster. But I don't care how veteran you are if you suck at football. Like, I'm sorry, right? Like, look, man, you're getting blown up every play. I don't care how much you coach the team. You can sit on the bench and stay on the IR or, you know, become a coach if that's your value to this team. But we're talking about an offensive line that if a guy goes down, you got to be the next man up. I think, though, where some wiggle room comes in there is you have such versatile guys on this roster, right? You talk about Ryan Vandermark and Alec Anderson, and we could start there. Those two, in my mind, were locks to make this roster because they can play multiple positions. You know, Vandermark is listed as the backup tackle, but if, you know, a guard goes down, he might be the next one in. You know, same thing with Alec Anderson, you could say, right? So those guys being so interchangeable, and really this speaks to the whole roster in general. Even SVP, who's a guy who is a center and was a center and college. They said they were going to get him guard snaps, although we haven't heard much about that quite yet. And we know he's gotten some snaps with the second team as well as the third and flashed. And he looks like a rookie, it seems like, from my reading of reports at camp, both on the third team and the second team. Some plays where it's like, wow, this guy's a star. And some plays where it's like, ooh, he just got beat real bad by somebody. But that's what you expect by any rookie, really, who's learning and getting through training camp. The other one that surprised me a little bit was Will Clapp being listed as a backup center, because I think that he is ultimately a cut/trade candidate. If SVP shows enough to be the backup center, then Will Clapp, being a veteran, might be valued enough by another team. I think he would be, that you could get a 6th or 7th draft pick from him near cutdown day or leading up to that third preseason game. Yeah, Clapp was definitely one. Richard Garage, another one who I would call him a darling of some people's eyes in training or before training camp in the offseason, saying, hey, this is a guy who's going to rise up and make this roster. And here we see him in this top 10 of the Bills depth chart. And that tells us, again, another guy who's versatile, can do multiple things, that the coaching staff sees something in him. Is there anybody on the back end that not in the top 10? Because like we said, top 10 are likely to be true contributors, true active members on the roster at some point in this year. Is there anybody not in that top 10 that surprises you, that maybe you think other, we've talked about SVP, technically he's listed on the third team. I think he would be that 11th guy, if any, but anybody else from the offensive line position that you think will be given consideration to make the 53 that is not currently in the conversation? At least not in that top 10.
Besides SVP, I mean, not really. I think they have that pretty much set in stone. I think Cromer knows what he likes, knows what he wants in offensive linemen. He's shown that he really loves the versatile pieces on the offensive line, the more athletic guys. So, maybe Keaton Bills, someone like that. Maybe, you know, you stash a guy, trying to think of his name, the UK person that we drafted.
Oh, yeah, he's got that. So the Bills do have that bonus. To me, he was never a chance to make the roster, yeah, because the Bills have that bonus practice squad. Because they drafted him, that's why they drafted him, basically. You get insured that bonus roster practice squad spot for the year. So he will probably likely be there. So that's a good point, that even if he flashes in camp, is he really going to make it? Probably not, right?
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see his name, you know, to read about him at camp, and we're going to see him in the preseason as well, I'm sure. That's definitely in my mind something the Bills are going to capitalize on, leaving him on the practice squad as that extra roster spot. So yeah, not much else to talk about offensive line, I think. But we got to move on to the next position, which, you know, there is some discussion around, and that's running back for me. James Cook, obviously the starter as far as we're all concerned. I don't think that's in threat. You know, we've heard about the drops in camp, and we know what happened last year with drops. But ultimately, this is a guy with experience who's shown you he can get it done in this offense. I don't think he's going anywhere as RB1 solidly. Like, people are talking about these other guys, oh, they might get touches, whatever. James Cook is solidified as RB1, in my mind at least, and I think in the coaching staff's mind too. But where we do have an interesting move now, Ty Johnson is listed as RB2 and Ray Davis as RB3. Ty Johnson with the team last year certainly flashed when he had the ball. I was happy when they re-signed him and said, hey, you've earned yourself a spot this year. Ray Davis, the draft pick, certainly taken in to be kind of that, RB2 role, get touches. I think, you know, as a rookie, he'll eventually get there. But are you surprised just in general that Ty Johnson is above Ray Davis still? Ty Johnson dealing with the injury at camp, Ray Davis seems to have really capitalized on that and been able to make plays, again, by reports that I've read and heard from, and has looked like somebody who belongs on an NFL roster and is ready to go. Running back position too, being one of those that the guys tend to come in ready to go, right, and ready to play. So what are your kind of feelings on the running back position depth chart, and do you think Ray Davis could end up starting as RB2 over a Ty Johnson, if Ty Johnson is healthy.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think Ray Davis has shown enough pop during training camp. Obviously, he has had a little bit of ball security troubles, but, you know, something he can fix and continue to work on. But Ty Johnson has yet to be healthy. He's had two injuries already through the offseason, one in the spring and one obviously during training camp. I agree with you about James Cook, RB1, no doubt about it. But yeah, I think that's just veteran preference for the coaches to be like, yeah, Ty Johnson's the veteran. We'll put him at two for now. We'll put Ray Davis at three. But absolutely.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, running back, it's an interesting spot all of a sudden, right? And I would be remiss if I did not mention, again, one of Eric's darlings on the roster that him and Izzy had a good conversation about when Izzy filled in for me, Darrington Evans, right? That's somebody who Eric really thinks deserves a chance at getting that return slash extra roster position and could make some noise there. And I really think that he's flashed when been given the opportunity with the teams he's been on. I think he's only worked with the twos and the threes, but has shown a little bit and could, you know, be at the end of camp somebody we're talking about as, will he be in the mix to be one of the kick return special teams guys? Because as we kind of discussed, smaller guys now, running backs, can legitimately be return threats with this new kickoff rule, and maybe he gets a chance there. But not much to talk about. Frank Gore Jr., obviously, on the back end of the roster there. It'll be fun to watch him in the preseason, but nothing. I think, ultimately, he was an undrafted free agent, and it's looking like NFL-ready-wise, that's probably where he's at. But certainly those two guys, talents that you'd love to keep on a practice squad if you can. Not much to add there. Have you heard any, you know, anything you want to add with the back end of the running back conversation?
I think Darrington Evans, you know, he showed pop last year in the preseason. Mm-hmm. They decided to bring him back after he went back to Chicago. So I think he's definitely someone to keep an eye on, especially in the preseason. You know, Ty Johnson has to be healthy. I don't think he'll really challenge for Ty Johnson's spot, because I do think they valued what he brought to the team last season, and proof is in the pudding of what he can do with this Joe Brady offense in the backfield. So, but yeah, I think if, you know, they could stash him and Gore together on the practice squad, I think they will. I think Gore Jr. Mm-hmm. for sure. Not quite sure if Evans makes it to the practice squad, but I'm yeah. sure they would prefer that.
Yeah, right. We talk about the 53-man roster, you know, that being tough to make, and the guys, the decisions you have to make there of who's that last guy you cut and will you be able to keep him on the practice squad. But the practice squad itself is limited as well, and you got to start thinking about how many of these positions are you going to be able to keep and stash, and what positions do you really need? I mean, you know you need offensive linemen on the practice squad. You know you're going to need defensive linemen on the practice squad, and we'll get to that in a second here as well. But, yeah, I think, you know, in terms of that running back position, that's where it's at. And tight end now, probably a quick conversation as well here, but one that is of note, Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, mixing up their names now. They're becoming one person here. But those two definitely likes to make the roster, definitely going to be high-impact players this year. But the third slot now, a little bit of noise being made here by Zach Davidson Quinton Morris listed as tight end three for now, but Zach Davidson is one of these names who is popping day after day at camp and seems to be coming into this conversation of, okay, how do we keep this guy on the roster? And does that mean taking Quinton Morris' spot, who's also pretty much done what he can at camp, you know, to establish himself, at least from what I've heard, and we know he's the one who has the experience. But I think that that's been a very interesting talking point in camp the past few days and coming into this now preseason. What are your thoughts on Davidson? And I have to say, initially, I was somebody who wrote him off as these three are locks and nobody else has a chance. And now he's this surprise guy for me. So where were you at with this tight end conversation? And you know, have you been hearing the same things I have, I guess?
Yeah, I think, honestly, it's the same question you're asking when it comes to KJ Hamler and Tyrell Shavers. Mm-hmm. What do these coaches value more, especially with this new kickoff rule? Are they going to value special teams even more? Are they going to be like, okay, let's take the actual talented player on the field when it comes to offense? To be determined. Zach Davidson has obviously made a lot of splash plays for the Bills during training camp here. And Quinton Morris offers you not only offense ability, but that special teams ability that has been the main reason why he's been on the roster the past couple of years. It has been an interesting camp battle. It will be interesting to see how Zach Davidson does this preseason. I think that will go a long way in determining this battle. I think it is one of the closer battles in camp because I do think they value Quinton Morris. But when you're Zach Davidson and you're making as many plays as you have in camp, it makes the coaches not be able to ignore you as much. So it's definitely a conversation to be had now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be an interesting one, I think, all the way down to the 53 man cut day, assuming health and, you know, everything goes well for these guys. So exciting to watch. Again, gives us something to keep an eye on deeper into the game for the preseason. Yeah. The starters aren't out there, but these guys are the ones truly competing to say, let me show you what I can do and let me show you why you want me on this roster. And again, special teams, we can't overlook that. Something that the Bills have done for the last is under Sean McDermott, I would say, is not be afraid to invest in special teams, right? We had guys who made the 53 just to play special teams, right? And we paid guys just to play special teams, not just one, multiple players we were paying just to play special teams. And that, you know, paid its dues in one way or another for this team. But now you're talking about, okay, we have a third tight end who could play special teams. We have a fifth wide receiver who can also play special teams. There's really a wide open niche to fill there for this Bills roster. And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing that competition play out in real time on the field. So before we move to the defense, I want to bring Izzy back in and get your thoughts. Izzy, you've been listening to us back there. General thoughts, anything else to add about this offense before we move into the defense?
So Zach Davidson, I think, is going to end up taking Quinton Morris's spot. He's a bigger, taller target. So in the red zone, he's more of a threat. Apparently, he doesn't drop anything, and apparently does play special teams as well. Mm-hmm. And so if he can fulfill all the roles that Quinton Morris fulfills for the team, I think that he's got a very valid chance of making this roster as tight end three. I think that the one of the bigger questions is Reggie Gilliam. How often do we think that Brady's going to use a fullback? Back when he was in Carolina, I don't remember much fullback play going on. And even back at LSU, he threw Thaddeus Moss in the backfield with Travis Etienne, or not Travis
Etienne.
That's right. Who's the running back? Yeah, it doesn't matter. They threw Thaddeus Moss, Randy Moss's son, in the backfield more often to play the fullback role every now and then. He was 6'7", 6'8". He was a big tight end. So he could fulfill that role too. And that would save them a roster spot, you know, if they don't run with a fullback. And then if Davidson takes over that tight end three spot, that's an extra roster spot if they don't intend on using a fullback. Granted, I do love me some Reggie Gilliam. He gets a touchdown every year. He does a hell of a job blocking. On teams, he does a good job blocking, and he's a good tackler. Obviously, last year, that monster hit where he forced that fumble, Like,
yeah,
it's going to be hard to roll without him there. Mm. But with this new kickoff rule, I don't know how effective he'll be. And so that assessment is going to be something that they look at, you know, with a fine-tooth comb, because there's so many guys. Like, 10 offensive linemen is realistic. And honestly, back to that subject right there for just a second, I think Tylan Grable is a guy who has a chance that's not in the top 10 to make the roster. He's been playing a hell of a good game in practice. He's been out there, and I've heard nothing but good things from Tylan Grable. And so he's a guy who's a sleeper inside and out, I believe, for the Buffalo Bills. And I think that's a guy to look at. But I think Davidson eventually is going to un-ass Quentin Morris for his roster spot. And one of the big reasons is Quentin Morris is excellent when he catches the ball, right? He catches the ball. He doesn't drop a lot of passes. But he fumbles. And so if you're hitting him in the field of play, I trust Zach Davidson to not fumble over Quentin Morris.
Interesting. Yeah, that you bring up a good point there that, you know, that's ball security is a big issue, and they have already shown by who they've added on this roster and who they've let, you know, shine on this roster, catching the ball matters. And we've been sick of seeing over the years these drop passes, these missed opportunities, and really emphasize this, you know, guys with hands. Kincaid doesn't drop anything, all right? These guys don't drop the ball, right? I mean, Shakir is a guy who does not drop in. The only drop he had was the one that was targeted over his head and he absolutely couldn't reach, right? So, I mean, it's unbelievable what these guys can do catching the ball, and I think he would add to that mix if he ends up taking that tight end three. You brought up a sore spot. You know, I skipped the Reggie Gilliam conversation because I was afraid to bring it up. Reggie Gilliam, I've been doing this podcast for 7 years now, and Eric and I and Sterling back in the day, Reggie Gilliam, I was the first person I knew, I heard anywhere, who predicted and said, undrafted free agent Reggie Gilliam will make this roster. And people thought I was crazy at first. They're like, why? No, I'm like,
I didn't think you're crazy.
He's a tight end. He's a fullback. And I was putting it out there. I mean, I have the history, the tweets, the shows. You can go back and listen. You know, it's on record. But I was the first to say, Reggie Gilliam's making this roster. And then guys started to come around because we had, what's his name, the longtime fullback on the roster at the time. And they're like, oh, they're not
going to cut DeMarco.
Yeah, DeMarco. And I was like, no, I think that Gilliam is really going to be this versatile guy. But what I'm feeling now, and I love, like you said, I love me some Reggie Gilliam. Every time he's on the field, I go nuts. I'm like, yes, get him the ball. Let him get in the play. Let him hit somebody. Because anything you ask this guy to do, he's good at. But it does kind of feel like the timing of where this roster is going, it might be more ideal to cut him off now and replace him or end up keeping. Maybe you could keep both Davidson and Morris if you cut a Reggie Gilliam. And even saying that now out loud, it hurts because I love me some Reggie Gilliam. But, you know, I do think that that's a real on the table thing for this 53 man cut down day.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on Gilliam, Ryan, before we move on to the next?
Yeah, no, I've always loved me some Reggie Gilliam. Always seemed like a good dude, versatile player. I think it honestly just all depends on Joe Brady's system, whether he has plans for that, whether he thinks he could use a Zach Davidson or a Quentin Morris in like that same sort of role to free up a roster spot. You know, it would suck to see him go, but at the same day, I'm kind of like, you know, we all want what's best for this team and what's best for the team to be successful. So if that means unfortunately cutting Reggie Gilliam, then that's what we got to do. So
and we've also had, you know, in this same conversation, that sixth offensive lineman role as well, right? That's something where, you know, you don't need a fullback if you're confident in that sixth offensive lineman coming in and being that, you know, obviously run buster there.
You know who that's been?
Alec Anderson, right? It's been
Anderson.
He's been the guy.
Love it.
So very interesting to see that. Again, we'll see that play out during preseason probably. And, you know, that's who they're given the opportunity to. And I've already mentioned that I think Anderson is the plug-and-play guy. If somebody were to go down, he's the first
guard, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so there's some move there. But the fact that he's been that sixth guy, and we saw Edwards thrive in that position last year, which is why they kept him, really. He was a starter his whole career, and then all of a sudden last year He's a reserve, and they found a role for him in this sixth spot, and it worked well. So I think that that is, again, unfortunately, something that's working against Reggie Gilliam and saying, okay, and with the special team changes, because Gilliam was somebody who was always out there on special teams, and now he, you know, with the new special teams rules, is he as valuable as a smaller, you know, body guy who can return or something? Definitely going to be interesting to see that on cutdown day, but it will break my heart if they end up cutting him. So
here's another thing, right? You were talking about MVS earlier with his money and being negligible, right? Lyle Collins is another guy with a contract similar to that, along with DeJuan Smoot, right? I don't think that they're going to cut DeJuan Smoot at all, so he's not even in the conversation, right? He's making the team, in my opinion.
Yet, uh-huh.
But between Lyle Collins and MVS, I'm willing to bet one of those two guys doesn't make the team, and because they're not going to want to eat that same money twice,
ooh,
I'm willing to bet it's going to be Lyle Collins who doesn't make the team. I think MVS is going to make this team, and I think that Lyle Collins is going to be the guy that gets cut, because I think that Alec Anderson provides you what you need as a backup center along with Cedric Vanprang Granger. So I think that there's going to be some guys, some young guys who aren't gimpy out there, like a Tylan Grable, who provide that, and you'll take on MVS, but you'll ditch Lyle Collins.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. That's a smart way to go, because, like I said, football to me matters first, and Lyle Collins has not shown anything on the football side from what we've heard at camp. And
he's there.
You know, he's injured. You know, he's got allegedly, apparently, a knee brace, an ankle brace, some kind of. So he's got basically one leg that doesn't move. I mean, that can't be good. Maybe they're hoping, based on this depth chart, again, where he's listed, maybe the coaching staff has confidence that once he's really healed up and gotten more into the offense, he can be a contributor. But right now, I tend to agree with you that if I was cutting one of those guys, it's going to be Lyle Collins first. And if MBS earns his spot or the money consideration comes in, then you keep him. But yeah, let's move on. We're already an hour in. We haven't even gotten to the defense, but I think we've covered the more important things. But we'll get to the defense. Izzy, I'll bring you back in if you hit me up. But we'll continue the conversation here. And let's move on to we'll do defensive line in general first, okay? Because Eric and I have disagreed on this throughout the preseason and even before, with the role of Von Miller being the big pie in the sky. Like, what do we do with this guy? Where is he going to be? I have said that I think he should be a third down specialist or a specialist and not get nearly as many snaps as Epinesa and Rousseau. Eric has been on the side of, no, you're paying him. He's that guy. You want him out there being the starter, and Epinesa or Rousseau coming in back of him, probably Epinesa in that case. But I'm not certain. And this depth chart, right, listed edge is Epinesa and Greg Rousseau with Von Miller and Dwayne Smoot. DeJuan Smoot, I guess is how you actually pronounce it. DeJuan Smoot listed as 3 and 4. So we know Bill's defensive line, you get action. If you're on this roster, you're seeing 25% of the snaps, most likely, right? So those guys are going to get rotated, and you know that's going to be the expectation. But the top two, and I've been saying this all since the offseason, A.J. Epinesa and Greg Rousseau are the top two, and they deserve to be, in my mind. Those are the guys you want to get the majority of those snaps. And then on the inside, obviously, Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones, God, we hope we have them together all season, because we saw how good they could be together at the beginning of last year. And what a combo they could end up being. Behind them, it gets a little interesting, right? Dwayne Carter, obviously coveted draft pick there, listed right there at 3. There is some controversy there, maybe. And then Austin Johnson as the backup inside as well. So, again, all of those guys, contributors in one way, shape, or form. I think the biggest story there is Von Miller being that rotational guy rather than listed as a starter. And then Carter being higher than maybe some people thought. Anything there, Smoot, you know, Izzy brought up Smoot most likely going to make the roster. That's always been my expectation, right where I see him as well. I think he's shown he can be valuable in that spot. Why change it, right? He's a rotational guy who can splash play. Why change it? Let him go. So anything to comment on for you about those top defensive tackles? Again, we're probably going to see all of them. In roles, right? So,
Yeah, no, I think I definitely agree with you on the Vaughn thing. I think you pay Von Miller, even if he didn't have this injury, he would still be the age that he is. We knew he was aging when we signed him. I would still want the same plan, even if he wasn't coming off the injury 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. You pay him to be effective. You don't pay him to just be out there. You bring Von Miller in to help you win the Super Bowl. And I think the most effective way to do that is have him as your third down pass rush specialist. Keep him rested. Keep him having that high energy and not get tired throughout the game. Because ultimately, you need him in the fourth quarter. That's what you pay him for. You pay him in the big money games. So, yeah, Von Miller as that third guy to Epinesa and Russo. Expecting a big year for Russo. Hoping he can stay healthy for a full year finally. Epinesa getting paid, getting more comfortable. And then, yeah, I think Smoot is a lock. I think he's shown enough in camp, which honestly was a little bit surprising to me. You know, I thought of him and Tuhill as kind of the same, and I think he has definitely proved me wrong there. I think he solidified himself as like that fourth defensive end. And then as far as the defensive tackles, I think in terms of what we keep in overall defensive linemen, I think it comes down to whether you want to keep Deshaun Williams or not. I think you keep Ed Oliver, obviously. Ed Oliver, Austin Johnson, Daquan Jones, and Dwayne Carter. I think it comes down to Deshaun Williams making the roster or not, because I don't think they're – you know, putting Javon Solomon on the practice squad. I think he's too valuable of a piece. So I really think the number just comes down to whether they think they have enough room for him or not.
Yeah, I think Austin Johnson being somebody who's a veteran, you know, at that position has the snaps, but so, it, you know, the next few guys up, we know these names, and you brought up some of them already. But when you're talking about the defensive line, you know, minimum 10 guys, I think, are kept and contributing. Again, all these guys play. It's not a matter of, oh, you're just out there. You know, maybe you'll get a snap if you're lucky or just play special teams. The next few names in order of, you know, depth chart. So we've gone through those. Kingsley Jonathan on the roster last year, right? Kept through the preseason, after preseason. Deshaun Williams, Eli Ankou, another familiar name for the Bills. And Casey Tuhill, who you mentioned they brought in. So Tuhill, to me, was always, I didn't think he was good enough. He did not make my May 53-man roster. I'll put it that way, right? And Eli Ankou, again, a guy, the Bills have had him on the practice squad. Yes, he's shown flashes, but still, to me, a practice squad guy. So these next two are really the two that I've been keeping an eye on, Deshaun Williams and Kingsley Jonathan. And when you talk about Kingsley Jonathan, he's an edge player. We know where the coaching staff kept him last year for a reason. He's flashed for this team on this roster. But you brought up the Javon Solomon factor here. To me, Solomon is a lock to make the roster because he's a draft pick. And the number one thing I think Solomon was drafted for was to learn from Von Miller. Similar body type, similar moves. I really think they want Solomon on the roster to just watch Von Miller and do Von Miller stuff, right? And so I think that's, you're never going to get a replicate of Von Miller, but because he's of that same body type, that same mold, to maximize the contract of Von Miller, you want him to train somebody at least. And I think that Solomon's really that guy. And we've seen flashes from him, like you said, in the preseason. Even though he's listed on the back end, it's most likely saying, hey, you're a rookie still. You still got a lot to show and to earn. And these guys are better than you right now. So there's, you know, it's not like you could argue Jonathan isn't worthy of being where he is. But the Deshaun Williams conversation to me is one where I think he's the last guy on that list for me. If all the guys we mentioned, other than Ankou, I think Ankou is a practice squad guy. Tuhill's cut in my mind, or traded if somebody sees value there. Deshaun Williams was the one that I'm like, okay, I don't think he makes a cut. I think if they're confident in Austin Johnson and Dwayne Carter being the inside guys, then they could keep Kingsley Jonathan and Javon Solomon as six edge players to the four inside, basically, to be in that rotation. And that's where I ended up, at least with that line. And obviously there's other guys in the mix there, the X factor, and I did this in again in my 53-man roster in May, the X factor to me was if there's a player that becomes available through 53-man cutdown day, then I think a Kingsley Jonathan might be threatened in making the roster, because if they think that veteran guy is an upgrade and they still need something out of that position, Kingsley Jonathan might be the next man off, in my opinion, as somebody who could make the, you know, potentially make the practice squad. But Solomon to me is definitely a lock. So yeah, lots going on at the defensive line in general, but those are all the names. Anything I missed there? Oh, Gable Stevenson, I didn't mention him, right? But again, a player who is likely to be on the practice squad as somebody who's just learning football and you know, getting into the mood there. But certainly it seems like the coaching staff has been impressed with him. Reporters have said that, you know, he's shown signs at camp of being competent, which is more than you could expect from a guy who's never played football before. So yeah, I think and you know, you have other veteran names that we've seen before on that list as well. But any other comments, thoughts, reactions to this defensive line room?
Yeah, no, I pretty much agree with you. I think I have Deshaun Williams as my last guy out, only because learning during training camp that they're pushing Dwayne Smoot into the inside as well, having that versatility. I think that bumps Deshaun Williams out, and try and stash him on your practice squad if you can. Yeah, so pretty much agree with you there.
Yeah, yeah. It's still a very interesting position overall, though. And you know, with depth, you got to have enough guys there. And I think that's what they're looking at ultimately. So we'll move on to the linebacker position. Again, praise the heavens. We have on the roster Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard starting. Again, wow. If we can actually see that for a full season, we're going to have one of the best linebacker rooms in the NFL, and I don't care what anybody says. Bring it on, people, because you got two playmakers. Matt Milano's all over the field making tackles. Terrell Bernard is a ball magnet like we saw last year and a good leader of this defense in terms of calling the plays and getting people lined up. Absolutely blew me away last year, and he's only going to be better this year in my mind. So those two cemented in. Not much to say there, I don't think. But the rest of this room, it's a matter of who's up, when's up to me. You know, like, for example, Dorian Williams, from what we've heard out of camp and what we see on this roster, is the third linebacker, it seems. So next man up is Dorian Williams. And, you know, he's got time under this coaching staff. They know what to expect of him. But, you know, does he have enough upside to say we, and confidence, obviously he's got, but upside there. Then you have Nicholas Moreau. They brought him in as more of a special teams ace who could, you know, also fill in. He's started games. He's got experience at linebacker. And I would put him in that next kind of tier, if you will. But you have the draft pick, Eddie Ulofosio, who unfortunately is dealing with injury, and that's going to be a tough. Again, originally I had him making the roster just as a draft pick who could be a contributor. Now that he's injured, there's questions there, and again, likely not playing in that first preseason game, according to Sean McDermott's comments today. Yeah, and then Baylen Specter, a guy who's been on this team and you know, had experience in the system. What happens to him? Deion Jones, the veteran, still on this roster, listed way on the back end. Again, why? Is that some kind of strategy? Or is that intentional with, you know, this is where we think he's at right now? So linebacker room behind the top two, what are your thoughts and you know, how do you think this is ultimately going to play out?
Yeah, no, I think year two, Dorian Williams, key part. You know, we saw how, you know, year two went for Terrell Bernard, obviously not expecting the same thing because we have our two linebackers, but having him be in the system for yet another year, so crucial to his development going into a second year. And then the depth behind him, I think, is really solid. I think a lot better than what we had last year. You know, you got Baylen Specter, you got Nicholas Morrow, you got Deion Jones, you got guys who have done it in the league, who have starting reps, really valuable reps who you can trust in a pinch if, you know, Your linebacking core gets injured again, which, cross my fingers, we don't have to deal with again this year.
Yeah, and again, somebody on the back end of the depth chart who you thought could have a shot as a veteran that they brought in, Deion Jones, who the coaching staff seemed to speak glowingly about, I think is that wild card to ultimately make the roster if they say stash Eddie Ulofosio on the practice or on the injured list if he's injured to start the season. And ultimately, to me, it comes down to, do you end up cutting a Baylen Specter, somebody you've invested in and who has, you know, grown with this coaching staff, but maybe now they need to go in the veteran? And how many linebackers you actually keep? Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard, knock on wood, they're healthy, they're on the field, but certainly injury history there, and you want to have people who can fill in and be ready at any snap. And we saw last year the Bills lost in the playoffs because of the linebacker position, right? We had bodies out there, and it's no offense to those who were out there, but they weren't with the team all year, and they're nowhere near Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard. And McDermott was able to piece it all together without Milano, our best defensive player in my mind, out there. And yet it's fell apart in the playoffs with the injuries, and they just added up for us. So this year, I definitely think they handcuffed the linebacker position for that reason, saying, look, we're not only going to have guys ready, we're going to have the next guys ready, and we're going to have practice squad guys who have started games in the NFL. So, yeah, I think that they certainly shored up that position. So moving on, we'll take this last group all together, the backfield, if you will. The corners and safeties, Taron Johnson, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The guy is a leader on this team now. I love him for the fact that he is an on-the-field guy, similar to Matt Milano, really. Two guys who are just so consistent and so good at what they do. They're all pros, both of them, and you don't hear a peep out of them for the most part. You have to pry it out of them, and even then they might give you two words, win, lose, or draw, right? So yep. I just love that they do their talking on the field. Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford, the penciled-in starters at cornerback for sure. Before we get to the safety position, because there's a lot to talk about there as well, we'll do them together here. But the backups for the corners, Daquan Hardy, we brought this up earlier, listed as the backup nickel corner, and there is a reason for that. They've been playing him there. He's an outside corner. They've been playing him at nickel, and he's played very well for them. The Cam Lewis move to safety due to injuries, I think, and he's always been a safety corner hybrid kind of, has given Daquan Hardy the opportunity to shine in that role, and I think he's done really well for himself to the point where he's a lock to make it just as a cornerback now, let alone as what he can do as a return game, which we talked about earlier as well. But Rasul Douglas, Christian Benford, then there's Kair Elam, the push from that third guy. There's been a lot of criticism on Eric's part, my partner, of Kair Elam and how much we can truly trust this guy if one of the top two go down. I think he's really showing this preseason that he can live up to that first-round draft pick. Jamarcus Ingram, a guy we know this coaching staff loves and wants to keep around. And then at the safety position, obviously dealing with all the injuries we have right now, Taylor Rapp and Damar Hamlin are the starters, with Cam Lewis and Cole Bishop, who is injured, listed behind them. And if you go even deeper into the cornerback and safety position, there's still guys like a Kareem Jackson, who they just signed, a Mike Edwards, who they brought in but hasn't played a snap, Kanai Lovely, who's one that, you know, has shown flashes and gotten coaches talking. So overall, I think the starters, it looks good. I'm very happy with what I've seen from Kair Elam as pushing the starters and being able to rotate in at corner. Safety has always been my biggest concern of the offseason, as a position, not necessarily that we can't fill, but investing in a Taylor Rapp, I'm still critical of that. Damar Hamlin, I've been a stan of his when people were saying he was going to get cut. Hey, Hamlin is good enough to be a starter on this team. Remember back when his rookie year, when he was forced to go out there, we didn't see him, you know, crumble under pressure. He was out there for a reason. He was playing very well, and really, it was his rookie year. He was still learning. And before that catastrophic injury, he was on a great trajectory and really looks like he's bounced back in terms of what we've seen with him really the entire offseason. Anyway, thoughts in general. I know I just went on a ramble. I'm used to doing most of the talking. Where's Eric? He would shut me up here. So I'm sorry I'm cutting you off much. But Ryan, what are your initial thoughts on these guys in the backfield, the corners and safeties that we have?
Yeah, no, I think Kair Elam proving to be the third corner is really what we needed and wanted to hear. You know, if there was any questions coming into the season, I think corner would have been one of them in terms of depth. Because obviously, you know, we have the two guys who are studs in Benford and Douglas. And then behind them, you know, the question was, will Kair step up and be reliable for the coaches enough to trust him as the third corner, or would they need to bring somebody in? And I think, you know, so far in spring, and it has continued on to camp, that he has shown the reliability to be the third corner. You just want him to keep improving. And I think it's a good sign that he's done that so far in camp. Outside of that, I know Jamarcus Ingram has a lot of fans. Obviously Cam Lewis being that safety corner hybrid, playing at safety now because of the injuries. So yeah, I pretty much agree with everything. It's good to see Kair getting his confidence, learning how to play in the system. I think him and John Butler just did not get along for some reason, or did not mesh. Yeah. And I think he's done really well under Adai.
Yeah, I mean, obviously those reports came out, and when the coach was released, we kind of understood that, hey, this is a first-round draft pick, and we got to get the most out of him, and just something went wrong in that relationship. And now we're seeing him, you know, flourish, really. And I think that seeing that upside, we always knew he had that talent level, but seeing it come out of him in these situations, the big words that have been thrown around with him is just – confidence, right? His aura is different. The feel of him on the field is different. He's got that confidence. The coaching staff is growing in confidence in him, and he's able to, you know, put more out there, and that's what you want to see from a young guy like him, who's still, you know, young and developing and has a lot of upside, and is right now the ultimate starter in the next season, because Rasul Douglas is a free agent. You know, you're only going to have those two guys left, and I think Elam will be the starter next season, and he's already, you know, pushing for a role on this team, saying, hey, I know those top two guys are really good, but you're going to want me on the field in some situations. And, you know, if ever those guys need a breather, we can feel a little more comfortable, at least where he's at now, in putting him out there. So, I like, you know, what I've seen from Elam, and I think that's going to be key for this entire team, let alone, because that seemed to be this dark cloud hanging over the team last year, maybe not on the field, but certainly in the media and everything. Oh, look, Kair Elam was a first round pick, and now is he going to get traded? Is he going to get cut? You know, all this nonsense. We heard about the injury later in the season, almost at the end of the season, and that's, you know, started to make a little more sense of why he was where he was, but certainly a high riser in this training camp and preseason so far, and rightfully so. Same for DeMar Hamlin, you know, looking like he's going to be one of the day one starters based on injuries and his play alone, even if there weren't injuries. The Cole Bishop injury concerns me, because we've talked about this on the show before, being a rookie, you know, every second, every snap you miss is a big deal, is like a year basically in rookie terms. So I think, ultimately, will he be an IR candidate for the beginning of the season? Who knows? Same with Mike Edwards, who just has not gotten snaps with this defense. Yeah, he's been a guy who's won Super Bowls and played with teams, but how can you put him out there with no experience and seeing what he can be? So, we'll see. We'll see how he does there. Any other general thoughts on the defense, some guys in the back that we didn't talk about, anything we missed in general? And I'll just say quick, the specialist, Tyler Bass, showing some inconsistencies, but we know he's the kicker. I'm confident in him. I want him to be that guy that we know he can be. The one thing that holds me back is that they did choose Sam Martin as the punter, you know, and so that means he's the holder. I do not want to see Tyler Bass has had issues with Sam Martin at holder. That's ultimately what it comes down to. And I'm nervous about that alone. And then obviously long snapper Reed Ferguson is going to be a captain on this team, let alone, you know, make the roster. But yeah. So anything else that we missed or that you want to talk about before we end the show here? We'll bring Izzy in for his comments too.
Yeah, no, I mean, I 100% agree. I think if this continues to go on with Sam Martin holding, having an issue with Tyler Bass kicking, you got to do something there. You can't. You need a reliable kicker
100%.
In the bowl game. And we have seen Tyler Bass, you know, have those years where he's ultra consistent, rarely misses. I think you can't bank on that for the whole season. I think you don't want another playoff situation to come down to that and have the holding be the reason you lose a game. You just can't have it.
Agreed. And I've said before that I think holding is more important than punting. I want points Absolutely. On the board. And it's not like Sam Martin's some top five punter in the NFL. No, he has mistakes and shanks one and it kicks one out of bounds when he shouldn't or through the back of the end zone. That's frustrating too. So, Absolutely. You know, he's expendable in my mind. And I do think that although they cut Jake Browning, they still got his number on speed dial in case this doesn't work out through the next couple of preseason games here. Because
yeah, I was very surprised because by all accounts, Tyler Bass was kicking really well with Browning through the spring and even onto training camp. 100%. So I was really surprised about that.
I think that ultimately it came down to need right at the safety position. That's ultimately they signed a safety. They had to cut somebody and it came down to him. So Browning was the ultimate roster move there. But I have a sneaking suspicion that that competition, although it looks like it's over, is really not quite yet. Yeah. And if Bass continues to struggle with the holding of Sam Martin and Sam Martin slips up even a little, Jake Browning's going to end up being the guy or some other body that gets cut in training camp throughout the NFL. So we'll see that and keep that on as well. Izzy, we'll bring you back in here, man. Any comments on this, the positions we covered there, the defense or special teams in general?
I think you guys were pretty spot on with the defensive line. I think that Deshaun Williams might be that defensive tackle that gets cut that might surprise some people. It wouldn't surprise me. Just because Dwan Smoot can play inside and out, Groot can play inside and out. Epinesa is going to be your second defensive end. It's going to be him and Groot on short downs. You know, like third and two, you'll probably see Smoot go in there and replace Epinesa. Who Epinesa is not the best against the run, but really good against the pass. And then on the third and longs, you'll see Von Miller go in there along with Groot. Because he's the better pass rusher, so you'll see that combination more. I think that the linebacker is the more interesting, though, because you got your two guys, Milano, Terrell Bernard.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Baylen Specter's been making some noise, and also Dorian Williams has been rock solid. I've described him before as the green. Yeah, I've described him as the green turtle shell in Mario Kart. Like if you send him,
I love that comparison. Yes.
Yeah, we need him to turn into the red turtle shell though. Like so when we send him, he follows you. We don't need you to just hit a spot. We need you to learn to become that red turtle shell. But as of right now, he's the green turtle shell. If he hits you, it hurts. Those two guys have been playing very well. I don't expect us to keep both Nicholas Morrow and Deion Jones, though. One of those guys is going to go.
Yes, yeah, I think definitely. There's a chance that both do, in my mind, but it could be, you know, at the expense of one or the other. You mentioned Specter. I think that's the decision you make. Like, okay, if this is the guy we've invested in and we truly believe in, did one of these guys, veterans, do enough that we need to keep them on the active roster rather than just, you know, the practice squad?
I think one of those guys stays. I think Morrow or Deion Jones. I lean more towards Deion Jones. I like his football instincts more than I like those of Nicholas Morrow. Although I do like Nicholas Morrow, I just don't think that he has the same instincts. And people, you know, will say Deion Jones is old. He's 29 and Morrow's 28. So it's not like you're splitting hairs here at that point. And so I would say it's Milano, Bernard, Specter, Williams, Deion Jones, and you may be able to keep Morrow if you end up having to stash Ulofosio on the practice squad, or not practice squad, the injured reserve. Depends on how bad he's hurt. But I if he's not hurt that bad, I think he'll make the roster.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to those guys at the end, I think, of the, you know, when we're talking about that 53rd spot. I talked about Kingsley Jonathan as one that could be expendable to bring a veteran in, but I think that linebacker competition is where it's like, okay, this is where it just comes down to which guy do we think is really going to be better on this roster and which guy do we have more faith in and which guy balances it, because you're talking about veteran versus, you know, a guy who they've taught and had experience with. So there's some give and take there. We're almost an hour and a half in, so we've got to wrap up. But I want to say thanks to everybody for tuning in, joining us. We love the comments. We love it when you're there with us. So thanks for kicking it with us, as always. Ryan and Izzy, thanks for filling in for Eric tonight and giving us your thoughts and insights on the roster as is. We've got Bills football coming up this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. And
on my birthday.
It's so exciting, right?
It's my birthday. August 10th, baby. Let's go.
Yes, yes. And we're seeing the starters. So, you know, you better be there at kickoff and the kickoff, right? The new kickoff. So, it's going to be an exciting thing to watch for sure. And lots going on and lots to talk about coming into these next few weeks. But thank you guys for taking the time to join me. And as always, thanks for kicking it with us. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.